You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class. It is a Tuesday here in KGYM. Happy month of December to you out there. If you're into winter, Scott Unash with you from our studios in the Southwest Side. Buttons, our producer and the man on the other side of the glass, Mark Dukes from his home on the Southwest Side of Cedar Rapids, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, your mobile app, KGYM Radio Stream, and your smart speaker as well. Good show for you. Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini of Illinois, will join us, and we'll preview Iowa and Illinois, which will be on Saturday, and that will be over in Champaign at Memorial Stadium, as that's a 2:30 kickoff. We'll have a Before the Boom for you coming up at 12:30 on Saturday on 107.5 along with 106.3 FM, and also in that same vein, coming up, we will have Coach's Cuts for you. That is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. That'll be coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn later on today for you right here on KGYM. Text line available to you, as always, at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our phone number as well, if you'd like to reach us in that fashion. Again, that's 319-366-1600, Mark. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. Good afternoon to everyone, and looking forward to talking some Illinois football today, watching little hoops on the TV. Indiana didn't look so good, by the way.
No, they did not.
And I got to warn you, we have at least one listener in Champaign, Illinois on this afternoon. So be careful how we talk about the Illini. Hi, Bruce.
Is this a member of the Champaign Five?
He is the guru of the Champaign Five, the groom in the wedding I attended about a year ago, and transplanted Cedar Rapidian, who is, I haven't been able to figure it out. He likes Iowa football, but I think he's an Illinois fan now.
Well, you transplant, you kind of get that by osmosis. It has been known to happen in some occasions, so that's okay. That's fine. Well, I tell you what, if our guest falls off, we will have them on. How's that?
I hope he doesn't fall off, okay?
319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you here today. And we'll talk with Brian coming up a little while from now. And, yeah, you mentioned there is some college basketball going on. Here's about as 2020 as it gets. What, the Maui Invitational taking place in Asheville, North Carolina. That's about as 2020 as it gets. And Indiana, not a good day for the Hoosiers. Texas, though, I didn't see very much of it at all. But what I did see, Texas is much improved for Shaka Smart. With the hair on Shaka Smart, too, by the way. You got that going on as well. But Texas looked good today.
Yeah, and Indiana did not, shot less than 30% from the field. And as impressive as the Hoosiers were the previous game, they just did not look good at all today. And you're going to have that, I think, with the limited number of practices and scrimmages and, you know, the normal cupcake non-conference games that teams play. By the way, Purdue beating up on Oakland right now, 54-27. Oakland out of Michigan, of course. But Purdue looking pretty good. And I think another example of, you know, you talk about the top teams in Iowa and Illinois and Wisconsin and Michigan State. You're not going to be able to let up against a Purdue, even though it's not ranked. It's going to be a gauntlet in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be a gauntlet as far as the Big Ten is concerned. USC is also, they're trucking BYU right now at the Legends Classic. That's up in up at Mohegan Sun as well. Southern Cal, a good team, but BYU also expected to do quite a bit this year as far as the Cougars are concerned in the West Coast Conference, to be there with the other big two out there, St. Mary's and, of course, number one rated Gonzaga. So USC right now is burying BYU 72-44. And I like afternoon basketball during the week, man. I'm starting to dig this thing.
I don't mind it when you work from home and can have a basketball game on in the background, and while you're working, it's kind of a nice thing. And by the way, we've got a couple terrific college basketball games tonight, in addition to a nice high school game that you're going to call.
Yeah, we got all kinds of basketball coming up for you later on. You mentioned we'll start off in all four of our frequencies as soon as Todd and Alex sign off at 6 o'clock. It's going to be the annual Champions Classic, and it's the same four teams each and every year. They just rotate who plays whom. The opener is going to be 8th-rated Michigan State taking on number 6-rated Duke, and that will be followed by, at 8:30, two teams that are 1-1, number 7 Kansas taking on number 20 Kentucky coming up this evening. We'll have those games for you starting at 6 o'clock from ESPN Radio. That will be on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 102.3 FM. You mentioned high school basketball. 107.5 FM tonight is going to be breaking away at about 7:15 this evening, as we will have our first high school hoops game coming up for you tonight. That'll be on 107.5 FM. Boys basketball, non-conference. We will be at Xavier, as it'll be the Saints and the Mount Pleasant Panthers coming up tonight. Steve Dozier is going to step in and call the game with me. Usually does the girls' games. Going to do some boys' action tonight. And we'll have it again 7:15 thereabouts at the pregame, about 7:30 with the tip-off. Those two teams' programs have combined for 3 state championships over the last 8 years. So it's the annual tip-off between the Panthers and the Saints. So looking forward to it. And like I said, this might be... for a couple weeks, the only game that yours truly will get to call, because most of the big schools in Eastern Iowa right now are on online learning, and they are not playing nor practicing. Xavier is one of those schools that has a hybrid situation, I believe, going. So a little bit as far as in school and online. So that is why... they can play. I'm not getting into that discussion. We've been down that road. It's not going to change. It's 2020. That's the way it is. And like I said, could be the only game we call for a while. Now, we will have a game on Friday night for you. Clear Creek, Amana, and Solon are going to get together in boys basketball on 106.3 FM. That will be coming up on Friday night. So boys got started last night with some hoops and few games around the state of Iowa, and wrestling had a chance to get started last night, if applicable, and I guess away we go if you can.
Yeah, if you can. I'm as confused as ever how there is no uniformity in high school sports in Iowa right now. Obviously, some teams are playing. Some school districts believe, you know, you can have at least hybrid learning. Others, like Cedar Rapids, I mean, you got Cedar Rapids off right now. Can't even practice because of online learning. Applied for a second waiver. Meanwhile, Xavier's playing. Marion's playing. Linmar isn't. I mean, and many other schools, Dubuque schools are playing. As I said, I'm as confused as ever. No uniformity whatsoever.
Yeah, it is what it is. And we had... adjust.
And then you throw in the Iowa State situation.
Yes, and we'll talk about that coming up here. Jamie Pollard letting it be known earlier today. By the way, Kirk Ferentz meeting the media. We'll have coaches' cuts coming up with Todd and Alex during their program from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We told you about that. We'll tell you about what Kirk had to say about Illinois and how he is beyond Clapgate for Iowa and Nebraska. We'll discuss that coming up for you in a moment. But yeah, Jamie Pollard talking today, and Iowa State is going to reopen Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. So, again, you talk about You don't know kind of where everybody is going at this point as far as crowds and whatnot are concerned. But Iowa State will have fans for the football game on Saturday against West Virginia. That'll be senior day, a chance for Iowa State to clinch a spot if they have not done so already as far as the Big 12 championship game is concerned. And that is a 2:30 kickoff as well. We'll have a 12:30 pregame show for you right here on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Fans will be back, and Jamie Pollard also announcing that fans will be back for basketball. And I think the original plan was something like 1,300 to 1,500 or so at Hilton Coliseum, around 10% as far as capacity is concerned, as Iowa State men and women will get back into action. The Iowa State men playing tomorrow. We'll have that at 5:30. It's an earlier start time tomorrow on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM as Iowa State back in action after their win against Pine Bluff on Sunday. And then Iowa State men take on, it's a doubleheader, on Sunday. Huge game at 11 o'clock. The Iowa State women will take on number one rated South Carolina from Hilton Coliseum on Sunday. That's a 11 o'clock tip-off. We'll have it at 10:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And then the Big 12, Big East get together. Iowa State and DePaul will play. And that's a, I believe, a 5 o'clock tip with a 4 o'clock pregame coming up on Sunday as well on 1600 and 102.3. Learned our friend Kevin Lehman, who we'll talk with our first segment of Off the Glass on Thursday. Mark is going to be calling Iowa State DePaul.
Yeah, I got that note as well. He's also doing Northern Iowa and St. Ambrose. I think that game Friday night just added to the schedule. In regards to Pollard, yeah, he, in a letter to fans, he addressed the situation saying the decision to allow fans back in at Jack Trice and Hilton was made in consultation with the university, President Wendy Winterstein, county and state health officials. So you're going to see upwards of 15,000 fans at Jack Trice for Saturday's game against West Virginia. And as you mentioned, about 1,300 fans at Hilton Coliseum. Again, where's the consistency? Iowa isn't allowing anybody besides parents and relatives in the stands. But yet Iowa State's going to allow 15,000. I'm not saying one's right or wrong. It's just a total lack of consistency in what we're doing right now.
Yeah, welcome to 2020. We'll ask the golden question later on after we talk to Brian Barnhart, and that is, and we have actually someone here that can help answer this question. We'll talk about that. And do you feel good about going to Jack Trice Stadium again or Hilton Coliseum again? So we'll have that for you coming up a little bit later on. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media a little bit earlier on today. Players meeting the media as well as Iowa gets ready to take on the Fighting Illini of Illinois. And, of course, that will be coming up on Saturday, and at least that is scheduled to go off on Saturday. We kind of have to use that disclaimer as far as 2020 is concerned. And Kirk, I think, tried to put to bed the clapping situation, clapgate, whatever you want to call it today. Kirk has moved on, Mark.
Yeah, he has. He's calling it a slow news day in general and doesn't understand why this whole thing gained legs. And as you said, he's moved on from it. Kirk made his point how silly Scott Frost's allegations were in the first half of that Nebraska-Iowa game, saying distracted his snapper. Well, didn't distract any of the other offensive linemen, but that's another point. I didn't glean a whole lot from the Zoom sessions today with players and Kirk, but that was probably the highlight for me. I'm moving on. Let's on to Illinois, right?
He did a Belichickian thing today. Of course, Bill and Kirk have coached together, so perhaps he learned from the foot of the master, if you will. But yeah, moving on. And I think the high road taken by Kirk. You know, he had his little tongue in cheek dig there, and now it's time to move on. And I will take this away from what Kirk had to say today, and that was the fact that he has a lot of respect for Lovie Smith. Really, really likes Lovie Smith as a coach and as a person and the Illinois football program.
Yeah, very much so. I'm glad you mentioned that. Kirk going out of his way to say how much respect he has for Lovie Smith, and we're going to get into this with Brian Barnhart here in about 5 or 6 minutes. In regard, Lovie Smith, year five, went to a bowl game last year at 6-6, granted, but did go to a bowl game, lost to California. But be interesting to hear Brian's assessment of the progress of this program. Is it still on the uptick?
Yeah, and at least in the last few games, it has been on the uptick, no doubt about that. Injury news sounds like Coy Kronk will get a chance to get back in. So the Iowa offensive line, which has been gangbusters as of late, is going to get even stronger and even deeper at this point. That Iowa has basically, I think, four tackles that they can pretty much lean on right now. Plum in there, Callen Berger, Kronk, and of course Alaric Jackson as top flight guys. And I don't think Kirk Ferentz is really going to think twice about putting any of those four guys in there.
No, I would expect Plum to start again. Perhaps not. Perhaps Callen Berger will be back in there. But yeah, there's some flexibility there. And Kronk started at the beginning, the transfer from Indiana, was playing pretty well, I thought, but has been down. I'm not sure how much he'll play, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. 319-366-1600. Coy Kronk coming back. That's going to help things out as far as the Hawkeyes are concerned. And we'll see. I don't think this is going to be a game that's going to – and I'm not saying this because the Champagne Five are listening, Mark. But I'm thinking that this is not going to be the Iowa-Illinois pushover games that have been taking place as of late over in Champaign. Illinois showed me a little more than they have in even last year. And I think the Illini are going to put up a fight.
I'd agree with that wholeheartedly. And it's not going to be a 63-0 game as it was 2 years ago over there in Champaign. It was closer last year in that 6-6 campaign for the Illini. And after, 2 weeks here, Illinois didn't play last week because of Ohio State's COVID situation. How fresh will the Illini be? You would assume they would be. How sharp will Illinois be? They're not without some weapons. They got some veterans, running back Mike Epstein, Brandon Peters, the transfer from Michigan, back at quarterback, capable players, and an opportunistic defense. So I think it's a very interesting game.
I think so as well. And who knows in 2020 how it's all going to play out. There is some good news in the Big Ten today. Ohio State is back as far as practice and in the facility is concerned. And we'll take good news as far as Big Ten football, I think, at this point. And that is good news.
It is indeed. I didn't track the Michigan situation. Michigan paused yesterday. Perhaps somebody can bring me up to date on that. But I did read, I think, Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, will not be available this weekend. But as you mentioned, Ohio State back in action, and that's good.
Yeah. We're going to get to Brian Barnhart coming up in a moment. Good news as well. In the racing vernacular here, locally. Iowa Speedway announcing today they're going to have at least one race next season. The ARCA Menard Series is going to be there on Saturday, July the 24th. So that's good news as far as race fans around the state of Iowa is concerned. And hopefully they can add to that schedule coming up for the spring and summer and maybe even into the fall as far as 2021 is concerned. And then also Twins letting it be known that it's pretty much official now that Cedar Rapids is going to stay a Twins affiliate in the Midwest League. Midwest League will be a high A affiliation as far as the minor leagues are concerned. It used to be a low A and will be a high A right now. Major League Baseball also announcing that they are going to have certain cities that are losing their affiliations with major league clubs are going to be taking part in a wooden bat prospect league. That was announced last night. So a little bit of baseball news today as well, as it's, what, 32 degrees outside? But it's sunny out. It's sunny out. So it looks a lot nicer than 32 today.
Well, there's been worse opening days for the Cedar Rapids Ball Club that I can recall. That's for sure. We've had snow outs and spring and whatnot, but I'm not sure you'd really want to play today. But excellent news for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. I think the indications all along were that Cedar Rapids probably would be safe, but there were no guarantees. And I don't know that there's an official announcement that will be made until next week, as I've read anyway. But certainly great news for the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Indeed. 3:25. We're going to take a break, come back, and Brian Barnard is going to join us. We'll talk Iowa, Illinois, and we'll do that when we return. Listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Your home has become an even more important part of your life. So give yourself the gift of a more inviting space with elegant cabinetry from Decora or Kemper. Whether you're envisioning a gleaming new kitchen, a more functional home office, or upgraded closets, the designers at Alexander Lumber will make you even happier to be home. Talk with them today about Decora and Kemper cabinets at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Bergen KDV is excited to support the community through the ICR Strength Partnership. The business, financial, and technology solutions offered by the local teams go beyond technical expertise so that your business can grow, thrive, and scale into the future. Experience a true partnership from the ground floor to the boardroom. Bergen KDV. It's not a service, it's a feeling. Learn more at bergenkdv.com.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3:27 here on the Gym Class. It is the 1st of December on this Tuesday. We've got basketball coming up for you later. The Champions Classic coming your way tonight, starting at 6 o'clock from ESPN. And we've got high school basketball on 107.5 FM tonight, Xavier and Mount Pleasant. And that coming your way tonight on 107.5 FM at around 7:15. Going to talk Iowa, Illinois. They will tee it up on Saturday over in Champaign with the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart, who's kind enough to join us here on this 1st of December. And before we get to that, Brian, first of all, I got to ask, as a guy that grew up in this era like you and a devotee of 80s music, how you had last night Lovie Smith on, Brad Underwood on your coach's show, and Kevin Cronin, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon. I'm very jealous about this, by the way.
Yeah, it's it was that group born on the University of Illinois campus. And, of course, it's pretty interesting. You know, they play around, I guess, different campus bars and campus sites and different places around the community and the county, and then just kind of went from there. And the next thing you know, they're megastars. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. And I could tell just from talking to the coaches. Of course, Brad Underwood and I are similar age, and Lovie Smith slightly older, but that was right in their wheelhouse. So they were pretty excited too.
I'm glad it went well. 2020 with the win for you.
That's right. That's good. Yeah, that was fun.
Brian, I wanted to talk about the progression of this Illinois program in year five with Lovie Smith. And as a segue, I was attended the wedding in Champaign-Urbana a year ago in August, and obviously a heavy Illinois crowd. And there came a time, yes, the bar was open, there came a time where the Illinois fans and attendants were talking about the 2019 season, a tremendous amount of optimism, and saying we're going to go 6 wins at least, we're going to go to a bowl game. And lo and behold, that's what happened. Let's talk about not only last year, but the progression of Illinois football in year five of Lovie Smith.
Yeah, well, it's been a it's been slow. There's no doubt. I mean, we came in, we went through a couple of coaches in the span of a year, and then, of course, Lovie Smith, the third coach, and he came in fairly late, right just ahead of spring ball there that first year. And so, you know, basically the first year felt like it wasn't quite this simple, but it almost felt like a player audition. It was almost like, okay, who do we have? And who can play? And then, of course, his first recruiting class, which is now the group that is seniors. And we have 20-plus seniors on the roster. And so those are the guys that are really being heavily counted on, plus some transfers, Brandon Peters, a Josh Emanor Bebe. And what's been interesting to watch is for Illinois fans and for fans in the Midwest that followed the Bears when Lovie Smith had a lot of success up there, it was the same formula you're starting to see now here with turnovers on defense. And I know Iowa's been doing this for a long time on their defensive side, but the takeaways, the defensive touchdowns they had last year, good special teams. We've got one of the best punters in the country in Blake Hayes, and then being able to run the football. And those were all, you know, things that made the Bears successful, and you could see it kind of coming last year. And, of course, then really burst on the scene with the upset win over Wisconsin and the big comeback against Michigan State. So, you know, I think there was optimism last year that you mentioned, and then there was some real optimism coming into this year before all the COVID issues that everybody is facing. And with all those seniors and with a favorable early schedule, I mean, there was talk of this team starting 5-0, 6-0 at the beginning of the year and maybe getting a high-end bowl game. But then the non-conference got wiped out, and so then we've all been scrambling ever since. And so it got off to a little bit of a, you know, slow start this year, and that got people grumbling again. But then they showed, you know, the team we expected to see was the team that blew out Nebraska a couple of weeks ago that I know Hawkeye fans just saw last week. So, you know, it's been a slow process to get where they want to be, but you can see the identity of the team very much in the way Lovie Smith approaches things.
Coming off of 2 wins, now obviously last week's game against Ohio State in Champaign was canceled, but you mentioned the Nebraska win, and even before that, a win on the road at Rutgers, and that's a very good win this year. Rutgers, a very much improved team under Greg Schiano, but Illinois starting to play good football right now, and I know they've gotten Kirk Ferentz's attention, certainly.
Well, and I think, you know, I think they look at, especially I know teams in the Big Ten like Illinois that are in a similar situation, you know, recruiting. You're not going to be Ohio State, or you're not going to be, you know, well, this year, you know, normally you're not Michigan. Michigan's really struggling this year, but, you know, those kind of programs. But, you know, why not be like Iowa? The consistency that Kirk Ferentz and over the years, I mean, I know our coaches and our people really respect that because, I mean, they're just consistently good. They don't, you know, defensively they're solid. They run the ball. They get the turnovers. They don't do anything flashy, but they just beat you. And they win a lot of close games. And when they do lose, it isn't by very much. And so I think, you know, a lot of our fans always are like, hey, why can't we be more like Iowa or like a Wisconsin or a Minnesota, aside from this year? But, I mean, the type of programs like these that can recruit the 3- and 4-star kids or the 2-star kids and develop a program, develop an identity. And that's what I think a lot of people like about what Kirk Ferentz has done with over the years at Iowa. And, you know, he's a very low-key guy. His team kind of resembles who he is, but they're just solid football teams year after year. And that's something Illinois is just trying to get to, a level of consistency instead of the ups and the downs. You know, the Rose Bowl one year and then 2 wins the next. And then, you know, just be more consistent. And I think that's what they like about what Iowa's done.
Brian, what's the health of this football team, COVID and otherwise?
Pretty good, although just this week, and unfortunately they lost a couple of guys, and one was a key, both key players, but one was Alex Belcheski, who from Mount Prospect, Illinois, who's just a terrific offensive lineman. I think he had started 40 straight games at right tackle, and he went down with a knee injury a couple of weeks ago, and he is out for the year. Tariq Barnes was kind of an up-and-coming linebacker who had a fumble recovery for touchdown at Wisconsin to start the year and made a lot of tackles and really had emerged as an up-and-comer, and he's out for the year too. But other than that, they're doing pretty well. COVID, they had the 2 positives. One was Brandon Peters back a few weeks ago and another backup tight end. But overall, they've been testing every day pretty much. And then clean for the most part. You know, they had a few players out with contact tracing the week that Peters was out, but and one of those was Isaiah Williams, who came back big in the game at Rutgers. So it's been pretty good in that front.
Yeah. Brian Barnhart joining us, voice of the Fighting Illini of Illinois at 3:36 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. A lot of people, it's been plug and play for Lovie Smith for various reasons, I think, over in Champaign-Urbana this year, Brian. And you got 3 quarterbacks that have thrown over 20 passes so far this year, a bevy of guys that have caught the ball, a lot of guys that have run the ball so far. And what do you make of all that so far?
Yeah, well, the quarterback thing is interesting because when Brandon Peters went out with COVID, and, of course, the guys in the quarterback room, it wasn't quite the Denver Broncos situation, but it wasn't far off. Isaiah Williams was out contact tracing. You had you were down to Matt Robinson, who started the Purdue game and then got hurt in the first series. And so Caron Taylor, who had taken maybe 2 or 3 snaps the first couple of years, suddenly was in there that whole game and started the next game. And then it went back to Isaiah Williams. And so it's been a real juggle at quarterback, and unfortunately, they were hoping for Peters being in there from start to finish. He had such a good year last year. Running backs, it's been 2, basically, Chase Brown and Mike Epstein, and they've been alternating quite a bit, sometimes play together. And then receiving core is really deep. That was the part of the encouragement was you had Evander Bebe back for his second year. You had Ryan Hightower transfer from Miami of Florida in. You had Donnie Navarro, who had a breakout year last year. You had Daniel Barker, who had a big touchdown late at Michigan State last year. All of those guys back. And then Luke Ford, who's a tremendous 4- or 5-star tight end that transferred in from Georgia. So they've been plugging guys in different places. It's just been hard to get any kind of rhythm with, last week we didn't play. You know, we got some momentum, and then suddenly – you know, the game's canceled. And I know we're not the only ones experiencing that. It's been true across the Big Ten. But, yeah, he's had to juggle things, especially a quarterback.
Brian, statistically, as you know, the Illinois running game ranks very high. I think 18th in the country behind Chase Brown and Mike Epstein. Epstein, I really like him. He's been around a while, a lot of experience. But maybe those stats are deceiving because Peters – was out. What do you expect out of the approach of the Illinois offense this Saturday?
Yeah, they're playing against a good Iowa defense. I know Iowa's only giving up about, 15, 16 points a game, and they don't give up much rushing either. So this will be a good test for the offensive line. And with Palcheski out. They had a young man, Julian Pearl, from Danville, Illinois, which is not far from Champaign. But, you know, he's kind of learning on the job, too. Those guys will be key. But, yeah, they'll definitely try to run. Brown has great vision. You mentioned Epstein. He's just like a bowling ball. I mean, he's tough to bring down. He's fast. So I'm guessing they're going to try to run, and certainly that's part of their identity. And some of the rushing numbers, too, have been helped by Isaiah Williams, of course, who rushed for a school record 192 in the first start he made. And then Peters has been running more since about the middle of last year than he did early when he came from Michigan. He's not afraid to pull it down and run either. So some of the yardage has been built up by the quarterbacks, but also those two running backs are pretty good, and they had some big shoes to fill with Reggie Corbin and Dre Brown being graduated.
Defense has had some struggles this year at times. Looked a lot better against Nebraska, though, the last time out before the cancellation of the Ohio State game last week. What about this Illinois defense that you've seen so far this year?
Yeah, they did struggle early, they didn't get many turnovers the first couple of games. They gave up way too many big plays. They did play much better starting with the Rutgers game and the Nebraska game. They've been more opportunistic, more fumble recoveries, more interceptions. Need to get a little more pressure on the quarterback. But they've had some individual guys. Jake Hansen is terrific, one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten. Just is kind of what we call a stat stuffer. He just does everything. Tackles, fumble recoveries, forced fumbles. He's been great. Owen Carney is having his best year at defensive end. They've added a young man from South Carolina State who's a transfer, was an FCS All-American, senior transfer, Rod Perry. He's been a good disruptor. So they've gotten better. They still give up. I think Illini fans complain a lot about they just give up too many big plays. Maybe they're not aggressive enough. Maybe they hang back in zone coverage too much or whatever the case is. But they definitely have improved over the last couple of games, and that certainly has helped the team overall. The big thing is just, you know, we needed the offense to be more consistent. That was part of the issue in the first couple of games. And the defense was just on the field forever. And you guys know you're on the field long enough, your defense just wears out. Yeah. And that's what happened against Purdue and Minnesota. And so that was much more of a – they converted third downs at a much higher rate the last couple of weeks, couple of wins. So that helped the defense out as well. But it's a pretty experienced defense with some good pieces to it. Is it a top defense in the Big Ten? No, by any means. But they do really buy into the turnover, getting three of those a game, if not more. And when they do that, they usually win pretty easy.
Brian, what are the protocols over there in Champaign-Urbana on game day? What are folks going to see? Mainly cardboard cutouts or what?
Yeah, there's a cardboard cutout. My wife and I actually got a couple of them, too, just for fun. To be in the stands that way. But, yeah, they've got them in different parts of the stadium. Some of these places have a lot more than some other schools, too. Some of these places, I think Rutgers basketball, I think, has a bunch of cardboard cutouts in their arena. So some schools are pushing it more than others, but we've got several. It's pretty, there's no fans allowed except for the families of the players. So that limits it to a few hundred. On one side of the stadium, and the media, we get checked, temperature checked, and all of that. I know the players, everybody gets tested, if not daily, pretty close to daily. So, they've run a pretty tight ship.
Lately, anyway, the Iowa-Illinois games have been over very quickly. I would imagine one of your keys to Saturday is that Illinois has got to get off to a much, much better start. What other things are you looking at for Saturday for Illinois to win this football game?
Well, yeah, better start. That would be the key. They were never in the game 2 years ago, and they remember that. I mean, that was embarrassing, the 63-0 game. I mean, that was just awful. They played much better last year. I mean, Iowa got into the red zone multiple times, and they forced I know Keith Duncan's made a lot of field goals, and he hit, I think, four last year. But I would say that, you know, they've got to be able to establish the run. I think I like Peters. I like what he can do with his receivers. Got to get the I know we'd like to see Luke Ford catch a few more, although he's been great blocking. So I just the big thing is don't let Iowa just run over you at the line of scrimmage. Don't let Mekhi Sargent or don't let, you know, Goodson, you know, run for 150. I mean, you know, limit the possessions, convert the third downs like they've been doing. You know, get a turnover here or there, and of course Iowa emphasizes that too. So they do those things, they'll give themselves a chance. I don't see another one of those 63-0 games. I think we're a lot better football team than that, and really even showed that improvement last year in a 19-10 loss in Iowa City. So I think it'd be a pretty interesting game.
You know, Brian, there's a couple 3 football games remaining in the season, but much like in Iowa, I'm sure you and fans are really looking forward to a season that has already begun in college basketball. Kind of unfortunate that Iowa and Illinois are just going to meet once, but both programs have very high expectations, and I know Scott and I have been impressed with what we've seen out of Illinois so far.
Yeah, and likewise, it's been fun to watch Iowa. And you know, what Garza the other night was just what kind of planet was he on the night, scoring all those points in the first half? But yeah, it's you got 2 all Big Ten performers, of course, off the top with Dosunmu and Garza, and what I think the Big Ten has 3 of the top 5 teams. But yeah, Illinois played 3 games over Thanksgiving. They had a multi-team event. 2 of them were against opponents that they should beat, and they, you know, it was fun. It was easy. They were hitting threes. They've got a Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois, Adam Miller, hit
really
28 in his debut and had a great game. And Dosunmu had, 20-plus points every game. And now the third game against Ohio, they found an opponent who's a really good mid-major team that had a guard who's probably going to play in the NBA, and Jason Preston. And they struggled, and Ohio threw some punches and landed some. And it staggered him a bit, but they found a way to win, which I guess is the sign of a good team. But they step way up in competition tomorrow night against Baylor over in Indianapolis. So we'll kind of get a good gauge here the next 3 games, well, next 4 games, actually. 3 of the 4 are against Baylor, Duke, and Missouri. So we'll find out pretty quick where we are.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Same thing with Iowa, with North Carolina coming up and Gonzaga coming up. And that's how you measure yourself. And if the Big Ten is going to be as good as everyone is saying it is in basketball, you got to prove it. You got to bring it.
Oh, absolutely. And, having Dosunmu back helps. I think Illinois would have been a good team regardless. But he makes them, not a top 5, a top 10 team just by his presence. And Coburn at 7 foot and 285, in the middle. And you add the Mr. Basketball in the state, and you add the transfer, Jacob Grandison, and you mix in one of the great point guards from the East Coast in Curbelo. And, I mean, there's just there's a lot of things to be excited about. And it's just too bad for Iowa fans and for Illinois fans that, you can't see these teams in person right now, because they're really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And, hopefully by the time they get together in the regular season, or maybe by March in the Big Ten tournament, we'll have that problem taken care of. I don't know. We'll see. But fingers crossed anyway. Any rock legends are going to be appearing on the Coach's Show anytime soon that we need to know about?
Well, you never know. That was a good starting point. We'll see if we can top that one in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, Brian, appreciate the time. Thanks, and have a good call, and best of luck to the Fighting Illini.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
All right. Brian Barnhart joining us, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football and men's basketball here at 3:48. I had to ask him about REO Speedwagon. I mean, you can't leave that nugget out there.
That's kind of riding the storm out, right? kind of what we're doing these days, right?
That's what we were doing.
I didn't realize the origins of that band being in Illinois. That was pretty interesting. I wish I could have heard that.
Yeah. A lot of these bands start off as college bands. Just not only the 70s, 80s, but even going into the 90s, into the 2000s. So, yeah. There you go. You learned something today on the program, ladies and gentlemen. The origin of REO Speedwagon. You are welcome out there. All right, we will take a break at 3:49. We'll come back, update you what's happening as far as college basketball is concerned, and talk a little bit about fans coming back to Ames for Iowa State football and men's and women's basketball. We'll do that when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Make this holiday extra special with a beautiful gift from Siegel's Jewelry. With a unique selection of designer and estate jewelry, wedding rings, diamond earrings, pendants, tennis bracelets, and bands at savings of 40 to 70% off retail. Open to the public from 10 to 5 Monday through Saturday, or call to book a private appointment. Siegel's, located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on 1st Avenue.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
You work hard and you deserve to get the most for your money. Like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at Wellmark.com.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online, and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here on this Tuesday, December the 1st. Our thanks to Brian Barnhart for joining us. And if you missed any part of our talk with the voice of the Fighting Illini, we'll have it up for you on our podcast here in just a little bit as soon as the program is over today, either at KGYMradio.com or on Apple or Spotify, where you can find your favorite podcast. Brian talked there, Mark, about the game between Baylor and Illinois. And I think that's part of the Jimmy V. Yes, and we will have that game tomorrow night for you. And that will be on, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Tonight is Champions Classic starting at 6. And that'll start off in all four. 107.5 will break away at about 7:15. But the other three signals, 1600, 102.3, and 106.3 FM will stay on there. And then tomorrow night, 107.5, 106.3 FM will have the Jimmy V Classic. And the nightcap will be Baylor and Illinois going at it. I think West Virginia and Gonzaga are the first game tomorrow night. So we got four really good college basketball games coming up for you in the next about 29 to 30 hours.
Yeah, and Baylor going to take on Gonzaga on Saturday, I believe. So interesting stretch for Baylor. We're gonna have some separation probably in the next. Iowa face North Carolina next week, and Gonzaga in the next couple, 3 weeks. We're going to find out a lot about the top teams in the country.
Yeah, and that's great about this particular, if you're looking for a silver lining as far as 2020 basketball is concerned, perhaps that is it. We're seeing more of these one-offs, if you will, of big-time matchups more than we would in a regular season. 319-366-1600, as we have about 5 minutes remaining on the program here for this Tuesday. Tomorrow, Chris Liss of rotowire.com will join us. Your fantasy football questions. Welcome for Chris on the Wednesday edition of the program. And then Off the Glass premieres on Thursday with Kevin Lehman, our friend Kevin Lehman, to talk college basketball. And we'll have more hoops coming up for you on Thursday on the program. The Chris Liss segment, as well as Tristan Cockcroft with Todd and Alex, brought to you by I'm On Communications. They're the season-long sponsor of all things fantasy football right here on KGYM. Speaking of Todd and Alex, they'll have your chance to win $50 in free bets with the Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino. Winners must be 21 or older, valid only in Iowa. Management reserves the right to change or cancel this promotion at any time. So, and you must be a part of the Elite Sportsbook to win this particular prize. And if you'd like more information on that, Todd and Alex will have it for you between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock coming up right here on KGYM. Iowa State's bringing back fans. What do you think about it? Do you feel good about it? Are you feeling safe to go back to Ames to see a football game? 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Phone line available to you as well at 319-366-1600. Are you okay with that out there, ladies and gentlemen, at this time? We have someone.
I'd be interested in the, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we have someone here in our that can give us some insight on that, but go ahead while we get this ready to go.
Okay, sounds good. It's an about face for Jamie Pollard, the Iowa State Athletic Director, in consultation with the university and state and local officials over there in Story County. Obviously, much different than the way Iowa is handling things. And while it may seem inconsistent, across the board, and it is, be interested to see, you know. For me, I wouldn't have any problem with it. I attended many high school games this season, mask and social distancing and what have you, and very little problem whatsoever. So, what do you think out there?
What do you think, Buttons? You're going.
I was going before I knew that fans would be allowed in the stadium.
To this West Virginia Iowa State game?
Yeah, my sister had 2 tickets because it's her senior year and she's on the color guard.
Okay.
So it was a senior game,
right,
for the band and color guard. So I was going to go, and I'm still feeling pretty confident about it. I got everything for it today. Everything socially distanced, and it looks pretty safe.
I would agree with you. As long as everybody adheres to the rules and whatnot, I don't think there's going to be a problem.
There shouldn't be any problems. It looks safe enough.
There you go. Buttons is going, everybody. I think that's enough incentive to have everybody go.
Just try and find me.
Yes. You'll be wearing red, right?
Sure. Red or black, whichever one.
Yeah, they could be wearing black again. Who knows? Yeah. Undefeated in the black uniforms out there. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Ed, thank you, Buttons, by the way. Our friend Ed says, asking for trouble, in my opinion, with this. And now we have to bring this up, I think, Mark. If this was an Iowa State game with Iowa State at 500 or thereabouts, would things change?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Jamie Pollard wanted to do everything in his power to reward Iowa State fans, even though it's only going to be 15,000 of them. To participate in something that could be historic. Never happened in anybody's lifetime for Iowa State to win a regular season conference championship. And I think very much that played into the decision making.
I do too. I do too. And this will, if everything goes according to plan, in 25 years there'll be people, 168,000 people claiming they were at Jack Trice Stadium to watch Iowa State beat West Virginia, much like October 12th of 1985, that at Kinnick Stadium, number one versus number two with Iowa and Michigan. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't know what that number is. I don't know what that number is at right now, but I'm very much looking forward to that game, and hopefully Iowa State can finish what it has started, and just would be a remarkable accomplishment.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see how it plays out. We'll have that game for you coming up on Saturday, and that's a 2:30 start, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM. KGYM. And Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next. Coach's Cuts will be a part of that. They'll have the chance to win $50 of free bets with the Elite Sportsbook coming up. We will talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com on the Wednesday edition of the show. Thursday, the coach Kevin Lehman to talk college hoops with Off the Glass. That'll be coming up on the Thursday edition of the program. You have a great night, Mark. Enjoy the hoops.
You too. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
KGYM, Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. This is KGYM Sports Radio. The Gym.
The Gym. Is SportsCenter.
I'm Christine Lisi. Another rough performance by quarterback Carson Wentz.